Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
I can think of no way to better finish this summer than to preach a series on blessing. A series on blessing. And so if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to open up to Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, and hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying this, 'This is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel, and say to them, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.'" And this is my favorite verse. It says, "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." How many of you know the Lord has put his name on you? Amen. He has marked you, and you are marked with the blood of Jesus. And I'm so thankful that he loves us enough to not only bless us, but to mark us and set us apart. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name in this season and in this service. And Father, Lord, I know that our time is running out, but Lord, your anointing is not. And so, Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, in this time that we have together where we open up your word and, Lord, we sharpen one another. Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can do and take one message from one heart, from one spirit, and divide it up, Lord, 150 ways, Lord, and you would apply it and sow it in good soil, Father, Lord, because it is good seed. And Lord, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you and we love you and we glorify you in advance. And we pray these names in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You remember 2020? Anybody remember that? Right? Some things happened in 2020, didn't it? Well, in March of 2020, actually late February of 2020, there was a conglomeration of Elevation Worship with Stephen Furtick and then also Carrie Jobe and her husband Cody Carnes, and they got together and they started to work on an album and they started to brainstorm and seek heaven for a revelation for a song that would reach the nations and reach a generation. This was three or four weeks before the shutdowns of COVID-19. And what was birthed on a Thursday, I want you to understand that, on a Thursday in a brainstorming meeting with the Holy Spirit was later released on a Saturday of the same week. And the song was called The Blessing. And that song would take the form of Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. It was released, like I said earlier, in sync with the shutdowns of COVID-19, also the uncertainty and the fear of a generation wondering what was next. This song was released and it grabbed the hearts of not only a region and our nation, but the nations. And I believe that this song in this season the Lord has used to prophetically respond to a heart's cry from his children. A heart's cry that desperately said, "I need a generational and a spiritual blessing." And there was a cry to heaven, a petition for the favor of God that would not only rest on us individually, but collectively and generationally. And this is what started to happen. We began to bless one another. Blessing in its definition is this: pronounce a word or a religious rite to confer or invoke a divine favor upon, to ask God to look favorably on another. I want to remind you this morning, and I believe I mentioned it in this service last week, that the Lord tells us in his scripture, Paul revealed that we are a royal priesthood. And with the assignment of a royal priesthood, our job is to minister to the Father's heart and to host the presence of God. That's quite the assignment. And I want to remind you also that you and I are blessed to be a blessing. Can I also just encourage you today that blessings are not a one-way street. They run north and south, east and west. A lot of us believe that the blessings only run vertical between God to us and maybe us to God. But you know what? The cross is not only vertical, but it's also horizontal in its nature. Amen? And so we are not only blessed vertically in that relationship with the Lord, but we are blessed horizontally in fellowship and in kingdom relationship and community with one another. And so you and I are blessed ultimately to be a blessing. And when we bless one another, hear this, we bless the Father. Because that's his nature. When we bless one another, we are releasing the protocol of heaven, which is righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added on to you. Over our 5 weeks of sabbatical, we started out with the ordination, and then we went right into Zach's graduation party. And from his graduation party, we went right into a vacation. And on vacation, I hurt my back, and I had if you guys remember, I had a pretty bad ankle, and it was all swollen up. And I remember just feeling like the Holy Spirit was saying, you know what, I'm going to remind you of Psalm 23, and in this season, you're going to lay down in green pastures. And you're going to hear my voice, because I'm going to use this sabbatical for what it's been assigned to be used for. And the Lord just started to rip open my heart. He started to identify and shine a light in the dark places. He started to open up cupboards and closets that had been put away and ignored for many, many seasons. I called one of my mentors, his name is Sonny, and he's from Kalamazoo, Michigan at Radiant Church, and I started to tell him what the Lord was identifying in my heart and in my life and in my intentions and in my lifestyle, and he said, well, the sabbatical's doing its work. And then he gave me this impartation, and I believe I'll never forget. He said, Jeremy, in your mid-40s and somewhere in your 40s, there's this transition in your heart and your spirit where you go from doing into being. You transition from the striving and the aspiration, and you start to be who God has called you to be, because maturity has done its work and inheritance is being released into your life. And I started to wonder, what would that look like if Oakland stopped doing and we started being? And I realized that what would it be for Oakland to be a house of prayer? What would it be for Oakland to be a house of blessing? And I was reminded that on the very front of our building on Bedford Street, that there's a sign and there's a cornerstone there that says, the house that faith and love built. And I want to be that house, amen? I don't want to do program ministry. I want to have programs there to be the vessel and the conduit by which the Holy Spirit flows through our prayer lives and our discerning, where we are the house that God has sanctioned us to be and has called us to be in this season of the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that his kingdom is being thrust upon the earth. And the Lord has said, Oakland, you will be that house that you in confidence and in faith and in love and in trust marked yourself to be, the house of faith and love that Johnstown needs. Amen? That's what he's called us to be, and we need to be it. It's part of our DNA. It's part of our heart. It's part of our assignment. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to be a blessing, to open blind eyes and set the captive and the prisoner free, to declare the year of the Lord's favor, to exchange. And many of us have experienced this exchange, beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. And Jesus said that my house will be a house of prayer. Prayer is the incense of heaven. It's our weapon of warfare. And the house of God needs to get back to being houses of prayer. I believe that the Lord is calling this church to be a prophetic tent peg, a post, one of many posts that will spread out across the nations, that will be erected to reestablish the tent of David and revival to the world. And that will not happen by might, and it will not happen by power, but it will happen by the Spirit, says the Lord. whenever the royal priesthood began to host the presence of God again. Not just here, but in your house. I believe in the Circle Maker, it says this, Lord, start a revival and start it in me. That's how revival spreads. When his people get on their face before the throne and they start to cry out in desperation. And we are there, amen? We are living in some uncharted waters. Scripture tells us that the love of many will grow cold and darkness will overcome the earth. But I just want to remind you today that the promise of the Lord overwhelms that. And he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I just want to encourage you, Oakland United Methodist Church, that you may not carry the same name in another season, but here's the thing. Our love cannot grow cold. Amen? It cannot grow cold. And so we will bless and we will pray and then we will believe it to happen. We will bless and we will pray and then we will believe it to happen. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. We will bless and we will pray and we will believe it to happen. Amen? And so in Psalms it says this, and I believe this is a word over our house for the assignment and the day that we live in. In Psalm 27 verse 13 it says, "And I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living." I would have lost heart unless I had believed. Bill, I would have lost heart. You would have lost heart, but you believed that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I declare that over your life right now. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart. But I can't lose heart because I believe. I believe that I will see what he has said. Amen. I will see what he has said. Because the Lord doesn't misforecast the season. I will see what he has said. And so I come into agreement with that. That's a gift. Agreement is a gift. Agreement is when we bring our amen to the kingdom, to the heavens, their yes over our lives. There are several times where we come into agreement. One is in our praise and in our worship. When we praise the Lord, we are actually coming into agreement with the nature of God. How many of you love the nature of God? How many of you know that there is no darkness in him? How many of you know that the foolishness of God confounds the wisdom of the wise? How many of you know that his love is so far-reaching and goes so far deep into the soil? The nature of God, amen? I praise him in the morning. He is established. He is raised up on the praises of his people. I love his heart because his heart is pure and there's no purity in this world, but he's invoking and he is releasing and he's imparting his heart upon his children. When we intercede and we need intercessors, we come into agreement with the will of God. And that's a hard word for some of us because we have our own will, amen? And we can have our own strength and our own will, but when we have his will and we start to intercede for those things and we petition for those things, they ultimately fall within his provision and his timing. When we prophesy, and all can prophesy, amen? We believe that everyone can prophesy. Not everyone's a prophet. But when we prophesy, we come into agreement. And we come into agreement with what God is saying. And when we have hearts of thanksgiving, we come into agreement with what God has done. We need to do a lot better job of being thankful. And it all begins with prayer. And so I just have three applications for you this morning. I've been sitting for 2 months. You guys are going to have to give me a little bit of extra time. I know we're running close on time. Are we good? Can I preach? Can I preach? All right, I'm going to preach this morning because I feel like the Lord, he put this one in my bones, okay? Like I had to wrestle with this one, had to repent with this one, so you're getting all of it, all right? And in Mark 13, chapter 5, Jesus said this, in times like this, we have to do three things. He said, take heed, watch, and pray so that no one does what? Deceives you. And you may say, Jeremy, you know, this is a series on blessing, and we're supposed to begin with prayer. But I want to tell you, when we take heed and we watch and we pray, these are principles in the kingdom of heaven that need to be anchored in our prayer life and in our walk in righteousness. And so the first one he says is take heed. Look at your neighbor and say, take heed. Take heed means to follow through with the instructions that have been given. Follow the script. Pay attention. Look at your neighbor and say, pay attention. We need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. There are things that are happening upon the earth that were prophesied 2,500 years ago. And they're happening today. That should excite you. That shouldn't bring fear. The king is on the way. And what do we need to do if the king's on the way? We need to get to work. We need to take heed. You know, an example, it says, he failed to heed the advice of his parents. That's what heed means. We need to take heed to the word of God again. We need to sow it into our spirits, and we need to stand upon it, and we need to articulate it, and we need to study it. And I want to tell you, next generation, I know that you're being indoctrinized and theologized by TikTok, but I want to tell you that this is the word that never fails. Amen. This is the instruction manual. This is the prophetic timetable. It will never pass away, right? Though the flower fade and the grass wither, the word of God will last forever. That's where we stand. We need to heed the word of God, and we also need to heed this. We need to heed the word grace, because it's misinterpreted and misapplied all the time. Grace is not pardon for my nature or my flesh. Grace is power to overcome my nature and my flesh. And so when we see people that are walking in disobedience and they're living in agreement with sin, we cannot say, I'm just going to give them a little grace. Now, you're talking about mercy, and all of us need mercy. Amen. But here's the thing. If you apply mercy without truth, you're misapplying the word. We need to take heed. We need to heed grace. In the season, we also need to watch. Look at your neighbor and say, watch. We need to watch the seasons and the assignments that are ahead of us. Throughout Scripture, especially the Old Testament, there's a lot of talk and a lot of reference to watchmen. And I believe that in this season of the church, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've seen prophetic watchmen established within the church in the body of Christ, especially in this region. And so what watchmen do is they stand on top of the city gates, or they're in the strong tower, and they discern the comings and goings of the enemy, the city, the seasons, and they judge. And you may say, well, Pastor Jeremy, we're called not to judge. Only God can judge me. You know what? Only God can judge your eternity. But we have the mind of Christ, and we have wisdom, and we have discernment, and we have knowledge that are anchors within the gift of the Holy Spirit that we can use, that we can look on something, and we can look on a tree, hear me, church, and we can say, I can judge the tree by the fruit it produces. Amen? And so it does say in Scripture, judge that ye not be judged, and according to the level that you judge, it'll be brought back to you. But it also says immediately following that, you know what? Don't worry about the plank in one another's eye when you have one in your own. And what the Lord is saying there, he's like, hey, you know what? You know what? Don't be judgy and don't be gossipy when you have inconsistencies in your own life. Handle yourself before you handle another. And above all this, Proverbs chapter 4 says, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Guard your heart, Oakland Church. Guard your heart. Above all this, guard your heart. It actually says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. To keep means to guard, to watch, to protect. Diligent means with intention and priority. That means of everything that's priority in the instructions that Jesus gave us throughout Scripture, number one is this, guard your heart. You will never minister as a healer if you're broken yourself. If you haven't been healed, you won't be able to heal it. But my Bible says that he's come to release the captive and the prisoner. My Bible says that grace is not about tolerance, but it's about transformation. So we need to guard our hearts in and out of season. We need to guard our hearts against offenses. The enemy since 2020 has been releasing a barrage of offense against our nation and the nations. Amen? And I could go down the list and I could start to mention what's been happening. And for some of you, it would poke a spot. And that spot is one of two things. It's either a conviction in your heart or it's a wound that's never been healed. Above all this, guard your hearts. Unforgiveness must go if you want to receive forgiveness. Young people, young ministers, teenagers, millennials, Generation X, Generation Z, hear me on this. This is a revelation the Lord was giving me over the last couple weeks, and I felt like the Lord said, impart this to the body. I want to tell you something. You know what? Be careful that your aspiration never outweighs your calling. Do you hear me on that? Because if I'm living in my aspiration, my eyes will always be on what everyone else is doing. It will always be geared towards what my flesh can accomplish, and it will always be anchored in my plans over the will of God. When I live in my aspiration, I am striving, but when I operate within my calling, I'm at rest. When I'm living in my calling, hear me on this, when I'm living in my calling, all of his provision is present. And so is his nature, and so is his heart, and so is his timing, and so is his community. He will send people to you when you need them. And he'll take people out when you don't. Because here's the thing, he never revokes a gift or a calling. How important is our calling? I need to make sure that I am anchored in my calling and not the aspiration of my TikTok and my Instagram and comparing myself to what they're doing and what God's given them. Because if I compare myself to what God's given them, I'll never have hands to receive what he's prepared for me. And if you want to be praying, don't pray in aspiration, pray in calling. Lord, give me what you're preparing me for. Lord, search my heart, oh God. Those are hard prayers. That's why David gave them to us. That's why the Holy Spirit inspired them. We need to keep watch for our assignment. And some of our assignments are the people that we do not want to be around. God gave you influence that no one else has. So know your assignment and know the people that the Lord has brought to you, and don't get hung up on who the Lord has brought to others. And last but not least is pray. Jesus said, take heed and watch and pray. He didn't say, take heed and watch and post. How many of you have ever been offended by something that you've seen posted by someone else? You better raise your hands. You're in church. What if the reason the Lord allowed you to see it wasn't so that you could reply, but so you could pray? What would happen in their life if you didn't confront them, but you prayed that the Holy Spirit would convict them? Because a lot of those arguments are anchored in the two things we just said. They're a conviction or a wound. So pray the Lord heal the wound, or that he correct the conviction. But you may not be the instrument that the Lord wants to use. And if you're the instrument, God will open that door. Pray for it. It's quiet in this Spirit-filled church. Here's the thing I'm learning, and I'm still learning it. When maturity springs forth, your prayers are less about receiving your blessing and more about being a blessing. We need to get back in our prayer closet. We need to start blessing and praying and believing again. The church has always been known for this. Come, go. The church has always been known for this. Victory and surrender. That'll mess with your theology, won't it? That some of our greatest victories come in our most glorious surrenders. But I'll tell you one thing is not in the heart of the church is this. Or picking up stones and throwing this. And it certainly isn't a religious spirit that sits like this and says, bless me if you can. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's time to start moving out of doing and start to move into being. That's the season that we're in. Galatians tells us that you cannot receive an inheritance until you have reached the age of maturity. It's time for us, church, to start to walk in what God has given us. In your notes, if you have a bulletin in the sermon notes, there's a right at the very bottom. Here's your homework. All right, everybody say, uh-huh. There's a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Every single one of you, I want you to identify by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, not who you have an agenda against. The Lord will give, Lord's going to give some of you some names that are going to surprise you. One or two family members and two or three co-workers or people that the Lord has put on your heart that maybe don't even have fellowship with you. But for the next 5 weeks, we're going to bless them. We're going to war for them. We're going to pray for them. And we're going to believe that we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Identify those people. I believe marriages will be refined in the name of Jesus. I believe that prodigal sons will come home in the name of Jesus. I believe co-workers who look at you and think you're weird now are going to say, wow, there's something on you in the name of Jesus. And it's not going to come from you running your mouth to them. It's going to come from you running your mouth to God. If we could just stand in the presence of the Lord and have our worship team come. Something shifted in the sound of our praise about 2 or 3 months ago. Something shifted. Go ahead, Adam, give me a harpist, right? Elijah asked for a harpist, give me a harpist, all right? Something shifted. And I believe it was a vulnerability and a cry from our hearts. But also, I believe there was a lion that was ready to come out. And God has given every church in this region an assignment, and He's given us a special one. Because it's our assignment. If it's our assignment, it's special to us. Their assignment is special to them. But our assignment is to equip, encourage, and heal. Gary released that word this morning. He did not know that we had been talking about that over the last year. Equip, encourage, and heal. And be a house of prayer. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray, Lord, that it will not return void. Lord, I feel your presence so strong in this room. Lord, I feel hearts are about to burst with calling and desperation and surrender. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, take the seed, water it, weed around it. But Lord, may it produce a harvest 30, 60, 100 fold. Use us, Lord, to build your church. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.